And that's Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1, Mr. Scott, if you would like to get us started, and then we'll pray.
And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots.
So here we see the name branch, and we will notice it's capitalized, so it is one of his names. So we'll do a study on this and other names of our Savior. First, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and the privilege to study it together. And Lord, as we study the names of our wonderful Savior, may it just renew in our hearts our love for him, our gratitude for our salvation. And Lord, I pray that you would guide us in your truth in this class. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. So notice, it makes it very clear that he comes from Jesse. So who is Jesse? Anybody know who that is in the scriptures? You got it, Jan. You nailed it. David's father. So this is another way of saying that Jesus Christ would be a descendant of King David. Amen? And very interestingly enough, the word branch, or the name branch for Jesus, appears 4 times in the Old Testament. And each of the 4 times ties in perfectly with the 4 Gospels of Jesus Christ and how he's presented. So this one, notice it's talking about he is a stem of Jesse. And if you go to Jeremiah 33:15, we will again see that he needs to be, to fulfill the prophecies of the Messiah, he has to be a descendant of David. So Jeremiah 33:15, if you would read that, Howard.
In those days, and at that time, will I cause a branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land.
So again, the word branch used here, and notice this time it says that he comes from David. So this ties in perfectly with the book of Matthew, doesn't it? Where Jesus Christ is presented as the Messiah. Matthew focuses on reaching out to the Jewish people. And we see he needs to come from Jesse and from David as the branch. Now, a second tying in with the book of Mark, which was primarily written to the Romans, is Zechariah 3:8. So let's look at that. Brent, if you could read that for us, Zechariah 3:8. And this is all under the name branch.
Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch.
So notice my servant. And that is how Jesus is presented in the book of Mark, isn't it? As the servant, which would have appealed to the Romans. Now, the book of Luke is primarily written to the Greeks and presents Jesus as the Son of Man, as a human, if you will. And that's Zechariah 6:12. So while you're reading Zechariah, Brent, just go ahead and read that one. And here's his name again.
And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord.
So this time it's the man whose name is the branch, which again, Luke is primarily presenting Jesus as the Son of Man. And then, of course, John presents Jesus as primarily who? Anybody? The 12 I Ams? God. Amen? As deity, as Jehovah. And that's where we find him in Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Roy, if you could read those for us. Again, this name, I can't say it the Kiwi way, sorry, the branch. I can't help myself. Roy. So this righteous branch that we read in verse 5 has another name, the Lord our righteousness. And of course, that is all caps, Lord, which means the Hebrew word there, name, is Jehovah. And John, the Gospel of John, primarily presents Jesus Christ to the world as God. So I said four, but I meant five. Five times the name branch shows up here in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zechariah for the Lord Jesus Christ. And these different appearances of the name present him as the Messiah, as a servant, as the Son of Man, and as Jehovah, this name branch. Beautiful, isn't it? The name branch. And, of course, it's emphasizing that he is, right, a descendant of David, but one of the names of our Savior. Number 20 is branch. Thoughts or questions about this name? No? Okay, Isaiah 40 then will be name number 21. So remember, we're doing it as they first appear in the Scriptures. And most of you are familiar with Isaiah 40. Something very interesting that might help you with the book of Isaiah is there are how many books in the Bible? Anybody know? Raise your hand if you know. Yes, Brent. 66 books in the Bible. 39 of those are in the Old Testament, which leaves 27 for the New Testament. So the 40th book of the Bible would be Matthew, right? Would be the beginning of the New Testament. Isaiah has 66 chapters. And sure enough, we get to the 40th chapter, and we read about John the Baptist coming and preparing the way for Jesus Christ. Probably not a coincidence. Amen? But Isaiah 40 and verse 3, whose turn is it? Mark Zeus, if you could read that for us. Isaiah 40, verse 3.
The voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
So here we have a prophecy about someone coming and crying in the wilderness and preparing the way of the Lord. It's very important that we notice, though, that that word Lord there is Jehovah. Amen? It's the Hebrew name Jehovah. Now, if you go to Matthew 3:3, we'll see that there's no question that Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 is a prophecy about Jesus Christ, because it's quoted in Matthew. So, James, if you could read Matthew 3:3 for us. Prepare ye the way. So they're quoting Isaiah 40 here, but they don't use the Hebrew name Jehovah, obviously, because the New Testament was written in Greek. They're using the Greek word for Lord or God, but it's quoting Isaiah 40, verse 3. So Isaiah 40, verse 3 presents Jesus Christ as our 21st name, Jehovah. Amen? Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Now, we looked in Jeremiah 23 earlier. One of his names would be the Lord, our righteousness. But Jeremiah comes after Isaiah, so we're doing Isaiah 40 as its first introduction. But Jesus Christ is presented in the Old Testament as Jehovah, because John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus, and yet Isaiah 40 says that he prepared the way for Jehovah. L-O-R-D, all caps. Isn't that beautiful? So just another proof, if you will, of the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Isaiah 26 helps us, if you want to turn there, verse 4. It's one of the rare occurrences of the name Jehovah in English. And notice it says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." So here the King James translators helped us to again see that Lord means Jehovah. And I'm not saying it the proper way, but Hebrew is a very, very difficult language to speak. And if you don't grow up doing the guttural sounds, you just can't pull it off. But anyway, number 21, Jesus Christ, presented in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40 and Jeremiah chapter 23, as Jehovah. All caps, L-O-R-D. Thoughts or questions? Yes, Gavin. From Isaiah 40 to Matthew 3, it was around 600 or 700 years. Yeah, Isaiah was written just prior to the Israel being taken away by Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah bridged to that time. So chronologically, Isaiah was around 600 BC. So about 600 years. That's God, isn't it? We get to Matthew, perfect fulfillment. Someone crying in the wilderness. His name was John the Baptist, Jesus' earthly cousin. And he came to prepare the way for someone, didn't he? Jesus. But also the Lord, all caps L-O-R-D. Any other thoughts or questions before we go to Micah chapter 5? Anybody? Okay, Brandon, if you could read Micah 5:1.
Now gather thyself in truth, O daughter of truth. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek.
So who was smitten on the cheek? Jesus, right? So there's no question who this is prophesying. They didn't smite God the Father, did they? He's in heaven. But they did smite Jesus on the cheek, and here he's referred to as the judge of Israel. The judge. Another name for Jesus Christ is the judge. And it's actually introduced in the Old Testament here in Micah chapter 5. And let's go to Acts 10:42, and we'll see where the Bible makes this very clear in the New Testament. Acts chapter 10 and verse 42. Kelvin, if you could read that for us. Acts 10:42. Be the judge of the quick and the dead. That's Jesus. Amen? He is the judge. If you go to 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. Isaiah, could you read that for us? 2 Timothy 4, 1. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. The Bible teaches that we as Christians will stand before what? The judgment seat of Christ, right? That's 2 Corinthians 5, Romans chapter 14. Both tell us that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He is the judge, and we will be judged by him, not for our sins, hallelujah, but for our works. Our sins are under the blood, but we will be judged. And he will ask what we did with the talents, the gifts, the time that he gave us. Did we serve him? Were we good stewards? And if so, we will receive rewards. And he will say, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Amen. But we will stand before his judgment seat. Also, 1 Corinthians 3 as well. So Jesus here presented in Micah 5 as the judge. Any thoughts or questions? Name number 22, the judge. All right, Daniel chapter 7 is next. Mr. Scott, if you could read Daniel 7 verse 9. Yes, Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9.
I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the ancient of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like a pure wool. His robe was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire.
So Daniel here having a dream and seeing the future kingdoms from his time forward. And then the final kingdom, which of course takes over all the kingdoms, is ruled by the Ancient of Days, whose garment was white as snow, hair of his head like pure wool. So is this God the Father or is this the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm glad you asked. So let's go to Matthew 28. And verses 1 through 3. Howard, if you could read those verses for us.
In the end of the Sabbath, they put the danger going towards the third part of the week, and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary received a certificate. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow.
So there we have one similarity. His raiment was white as snow. Then if we go to Revelation 1:14, Brent, we'll see about the hair.
His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire.
So this is, again, introducing Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation. If you read the whole context there, it's introducing Jesus. So we see that the hair and the garment match this Ancient of Days that is introduced to us by Daniel in his vision about future kingdoms, which means that Jesus Christ must be the Ancient of Days. It's said in that same passage that Ancient of Days means he's always been around, right? And of course, that's what we're told in Micah 5:2, from everlasting to everlasting. Would be Jesus Christ. And we see that he's worshipped, and of course Jesus is to be worshipped. The Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Jesus Christ is to be respected and venerated as the Ancient of Days. And again, when we meet him at his judgment seat, he's not going to be a babe in a manger, is he? He's going to be the Ancient of Days when we face him at that judgment seat. So thoughts or questions? Jesus Christ, the Ancient of Days. Daniel 9 is next. Anybody? Yes, brother.
I think it also refers to one that comes with the clouds as well, which is significant with...
First Thessalonians 4. Yep, when he returns with clouds. Amen. And his eyes, we saw, were fiery there in Revelation 1, so it all fits perfectly. All right, so next is Daniel 9, Roy, verses 25 and 26.
Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment of the Lord to build Jerusalem into the desire of the prince of the 7 weeks, and peace for indeed, the street shall be built again, the wall, even in the troublous times. After these 4 and 2 weeks of Messiah, he cut off the mouth for himself. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city, the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with blood. And to the end of the war, desolations are there.
So when the Gentile king sent Ezra back to rebuild Jerusalem, the temple primarily, he didn't realize at that time that he was setting a calendar, which is exactly what happened. And so way back in Daniel, he said, when that happens, when that king gives the decree to send the Jews back to Jerusalem to rebuild it, you can date from that time forward 69 weeks of years, and that's when the Messiah will come. And that is how Herod was able to ask those wise men, when should the Messiah come? How would they even be able to figure that out? They just read the book of Daniel. And it is exactly that many years from when the decree went forward. Of course, God did it, so it's going to be exactly that number of years. 69 weeks of years from when the decree went forward to rebuild the temple to when Jesus came to the earth was 69 weeks of years. And his name? Messiah. So even though we often think of that name being given to him in the New Testament, which it is, was actually given in the Old Testament as a prophecy. And this is what the Jews had been waiting for. They knew the book of Daniel. They knew these prophecies. And they were waiting for the Messiah. And, of course, they primarily wanted the Messiah so that they could have their kingdom and so that they could be out from under Roman rule. But, of course, Jesus came as the Messiah and said, repent. They didn't like that very much, did they? Anyway, Jesus Christ prophesied as the Messiah, which, if you go to John 1:41, is another name for Christ. That's what the word Christ means. It means Messiah. So when we say Jesus Christ, when we're referring to our Savior, Jesus is the New Testament name for Jehovah saves. So that is the Savior name. And then Christ is the Jewish fulfillment, the Messiah. So there's a lot embedded in those names, isn't there? But notice here in John 1:41, he findeth first his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. So there we have no doubt that Christ and Messiah mean the same thing. So most people don't realize when they use the word Christ, they're actually using the word Messiah, the fulfillment of the Jewish prophecies of the one who would come and rescue Israel. So Jesus Christ was prophesied to come as a prophet, prophesied to come as a priest, prophesied to come as a king. Remember, prophet we saw in Deuteronomy, priest we saw in Psalm 110 after the order of Melchizedek. And then in 2 Samuel, we have the prophecy that there would always be someone on the throne of David, a prophecy of Jesus. But he also came as the Messiah, the Christ. And if you look at John 4, 25 and 26, Mr. Zeus, if you could read those for us. So no ambiguity there, is there? This is the woman at the well, Samaria. She says, I know, I may only be a half Jew, but I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. And Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. I am the Messiah, I am the Christ. So Jesus made it very clear that he was the Messiah. And every time we use the name Christ, that's what we're saying. He's the Messiah. He's the Jewish Messiah. And that was prophesied of in Daniel chapter 9 as also a means of giving us a calendar of exactly when he would come to the earth and be born of a virgin in Bethlehem, Judea. Thoughts or questions about Messiah, the Anointed One, if you want to give a proper translation of what it means, that's what it means, the Anointed One. Messiah, Christ. We'll talk about Christ later because that's not in the Old Testament. Anybody? All right, Haggai chapter 2 is name number 25. Daniel, Hosea, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So three books before the last book of the Old Testament. Right before Zechariah. Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, James, it's your turn. It's easy for you. You don't have to thumb through your Bible. You just pull it up on your phone, eh?
And how shameful nations and desirable nations shall come. build this house before I send it to the posts.
So here Jesus Christ is referred to as the desire of all nations. The desire of all nations. Now, that isn't true yet, is it? Most nations are not interested in Christ and actually reject Christ, especially the Muslim ones. But Jesus is the desire of all nations, and there will come a time when the kingdom will be his kingdom, which he will establish, right? Isaiah chapter 2, let's turn there. And Jesus Christ will set up his kingdom. It hasn't happened yet. Still in the future, the kingdom of David. Notice Isaiah 2:2, it will come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. So in this case, this mountain is referring to his kingdom, and it says it will be in the top of the mountains and all nations. So there it is. He is the desire of all nations. All nations shall flow unto it. So when Jesus brings his kingdom, it will be the only kingdom on the earth, and all other nations will become part of it. When we come back with Christ to his kingdom, there won't be 270 nations. There will be one. Amen? The nation of Jesus Christ. The nation of David. That will be all of them. And Jesus has made this clear many times in the scriptures that this is going to happen in the future. He said to his disciples, I will come again. Amen? In John 14. So here is the desire of all nations. Thoughts or questions about name number 25, Haggai chapter 2. Then let's finish the Old Testament today. That'll be perfect. Malachi chapter 4. Whose turn is it? Brandon. Last book of the Old Testament, youngest book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. So who made the sun? God. And he refers here to Jesus Christ as the Son of Righteousness. God refers to it when he created the universe as the greater light. Amen. And we saw in if you want to look at Revelation 1:16, the Bible says that his countenance is as the sun. Kelvin, read that for us, Revelation 1:16. Sun's pretty bright. Amen. Jesus came to be the light of the world. And here he is referred to as the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N. That is not a misprint. And if you look at 84:11, Psalm 84:11, God here likens Jehovah to the Son. Isaiah, read that for us. So God is not encouraging us to worship the sun here, but he is using part of his creation to teach us more about himself. The sun is where we get light, but what else do we get from the sun? If we didn't have the sun, there would be no life, would there? The sun is, nothing would grow. The earth would freeze. We need the sun, don't we? And we need God. And so that's why he is likening himself, Jesus Christ, and Jehovah, as we saw here in 84:11, to his own creation, the sun that keeps this world alive, if you will, gives us life. and God gives us life, and God is light. And when we get saved, we turn from darkness to light. Amen. And so we're in the night until the light comes, as the Bible teaches. And so when we get saved, we become the light of the world. So Jesus Christ, his final name in the Old Testament, name number 26, is the Son of Righteousness. Thoughts or questions about that final Old Testament name? So isn't that beautiful? That's a lot of names from the Old Testament for Jesus Christ. Of course, now we're going to dive into the New Testament next week.